So, good morning. Our host cells are major contributor of P to surface waters. So these are the results from my PhD, well, currently ongoing PhD project from a Swedish short and long-term long soil column study. My name is Matt Riddle, and I'm from the Swedish University of Agricultural Sciences in Uppsala in Sweden. So, for those of you not familiar with the histosols, why are we concerned with histosols? Well, throughout the world there's between 325 and 375 million hectares of them, and most of those are found in the boreal, subarctic and low arctic regions of the world. But there are also those that are found in the more hospitable areas that are used for farming. Now, to farm these soils, you actually need to drain them. When you drain them, you introduce oxygen into the soil, and the carbon in the soil is slowly lost as carbon dioxide. And as you do this as well, the phosphorus and nitrogen in the soil is also progressively lost out through drainage, through the drainage system. So, Hordestein and Forbes, back in 1972, they found concentrations of around about 0.5 to 2 milligrams per litre from 60-centimetre soil solution samplers that they put in freshly drained histosol soils in the Florida Everglades. And if you were to take Vollenweider's 1968 recommendation of 0.01 milligrams per litre as a concentration of which above that in freshwaters, phosphorus can cause eutrophication, you can see that this is actually quite well above this this level. Then if you also take Cogger and Duxbury in 84, they found drainage losses of between 1 to 30 kilograms per hectare in 8 organic soils that they were studying as well. So fairly significant losses. So what's this got to do with Sweden? Well, in Sweden, about 10% of arable land, or about 2.5 million hectares of this land, are histosols. So just to give you, I'm sure most people are probably fairly aware where Sweden is, but you're never going too sure. So here we are, Sweden up here in the yellow, and Phoenix where we are just now. So we've come a long way to bring you this very interesting knowledge. So this little blue bit out to the east of Sweden is known as the Baltic Sea. Now the Baltic Sea is basically Sweden's, well, all the Baltic nations there, Chesapeake Bay. So we have a problem with eutrophication. And so this project that I'm working on is to help identify another possibility of phosphorus sources to this eutrophication problem. So in this blown up version of Sweden here, we can see, here is the soil collection sites. I have two soils that I've used for my experiments. They look like one site because they're about 40 kilometres from each other, so they're not too far away. So, as I said, two experiments. So the first experiment I did was an indoor rainfall simulation experiment. So basically I've taken 20 centimetre in diameter plastic or PVC pipes, 20 centimetre in length PVC, and pushed them basically down into four different depths in the soil profile. And I've done this at two different soil sites, and then once I've collected them, they've been put in a rainfall simulator and the leachate has been collected. Now this was basically just to help identify whereabouts in the soil profile this phosphorus is most prolific. So the second experiment, which is still ongoing, is using these long lysimeters. Now these are a little bit bigger, 30 centimetres in diameter by 90 centimetres long, and these are taken from the same two soils. These were taken back to our lysimeter station that we have at Uppsala in Sweden and put into the lysimeter station. So the top is open to weather conditions, rain, snow, you name it, and the bottom you collect the leachate from there so you can identify what there is in the leachate phosphorus-wise. So this firstly the rainfall simulator experiment. So as I said, two soils, four depths, there's three replicates, four simulations, roughly 2 days in between. and 4 50-millimeter rainfall events using artificial rainwater at an application rate of 5 millimeters an hour. So that equals about a third of Uppsala's annual rainfall. So some results. What I've got here, this is the first soil. This is the 0 to 20 depth, so reasonably big there. So what I'll just point out the important things on the graph here. So on the left-hand y-axis, we've got total phosphorus load in kilograms per hectare. This is related to these bars here. These bars are made up of dissolved reactive P, organic P, and particulate P. So the total load is the total phosphorus load. On the right-hand y-axis, we've got concentration, milligrams per litre of total P, and this relates to the line graph here. So as you can see, simulation 1 here up to simulation 4, you've actually got an increase in phosphorus leaching loads, concentrations. And these letters underneath here show the statistical significance that simulation 1 is actually different from simulation 4 in loads. I think it was in concentrations as well. And you can see you've got up to about, is it just over 2 kilograms per hectare in this last simulation coming out. Now we look at the soil 2, same thing, same depth, 0 to 20 centimetres, and the graph is set up exactly the same, and you can see that the loads, they come up all the way up to nearly 5 kilograms per hectare. And again, you've got increases from simulation 1 up to simulation 4, and again, they're statistically significantly different between simulation 1 and 4. So you're getting an increase in concentrations up here and loads as well, which is quite interesting. So I didn't have time to go through all the graphs, and you probably fall asleep by the end of it. So what I've done is summarised it all in the chart. So we've got soil 1 here, soil 2 underneath, and then we've got the soil depths. So basically what I want you to look at is, this is the mean total P concentration that we've got from the top soil, the 0 to 20 depths. So soil 1 is obviously quite a lot lower than soil 2, but you've got still quite high concentrations coming out of that depth. And if we take the sum of total P, so this is the sum of all 4 simulations. So I've taken the mean from each simulation and added them up. I'm not really sure if that's mathematically allowed, but it gives you a rough idea of how much phosphorus you're getting out of each of these soil depths. So obviously there's a lot coming out of this top soil, and you compare that to the lower levels underneath, it's quite a lot more. But yeah, 4.5 kilos from the soil 1 and 15 from soil 2. And if you add up all these depths together from each of the soils, you get a total 5 kilograms from soil 1 and 17.5 kilograms from soil 2. So that's a fair whack of phosphorus. So just to move on now to the lysimeters. Again, these are the big full-length 30 by 90 centimetre lysimeters. So this is results from the first year. I've got 2 years. The graph is set up pretty much the same, except just to keep you on your toes, I've made it into accumulated loads. Makes it a bit more interesting. Again, you've got 9 sampling events throughout the year. So a sampling event occurred when you had roughly about 30 millimetres of rainfall in each of the bottles. As you can see, we got up to about 0.4, 0.5 kilograms per hectare, and you get actually a peak concentration of around about 1 milligram per litre. And I forgot to mention before, but the majority of this phosphorus is actually dissolved reactive phosphorus. And in here, it tends to be the same, mostly as DRP. Now, if we compare that to soil 2, similar scenario from the rain simulator event, you actually get more leaching from the second soil, and you're getting all the way up to about 1 kilogram per hectare, which is a reasonable amount. So this is the second year. The same thing, nine sampling occasions. And just the take-home thing, it's pretty much the same, between 0.4, 0.5, maybe a little bit more kilograms per hectare total P and getting up to about 2 milligrams per litre is a higher concentration. And most of it again is DRP, and then soil, the soil too, up to about 1.2 kilograms per hectare, and quite up to over 4.5 milligrams per litre. So these are pretty significant amounts of phosphorus that are coming out of even these. They're not, it's not a field scale, but it's not a lab scale. Of course, lysimeters are somewhere in between, but it gives you a fairly good idea of what's possibly coming out of these soils in a farmer's field. And so roughly, you know, half a kilogram from soil one and 1 to 1.2 kilograms from soil two. So just a quick summary, just comparing the two experiments. So up to about 13.5 milligrams per litre was lost from the rain simulation for soil one, and about 5.78 milligrams per litre from the lysimeters. And if you look at the total P, up to 4.5 for the rain simulation and 0.5 for lysimeters. And again, the same scenario for the soil two, up to 10.3 milligrams per litre for the rain simulation compared to 6.4 for the lysimeters. And again, the big whack of phosphorus, 15 kilograms versus 1.2. So the reason for these big differences between the simulation and the lysimeters, it's a good question. There's a few different answers, and these are only sort of speculation, but obviously the first one is you, with the lysimeters, you obviously have the 0 to 20 depth, but you also have the rest of the profile underneath it. So you're taking into account the sorption abilities of the aluminium and iron oxides and hydroxides that are present in that subsoil. You actually miss out on that when you're obviously dealing with just individual profile layers. So that's the one main reason. There are a couple of others, but I think I'm going to run out of time to try and explain to go through those. But just a few conclusions. So basically these, as you saw, these experiments showed that there was an increase well over 0.1 milligrams per litre, as I said at the start, was where eutrophication is supposed to be occurring in fresh waters. Mostly it was DRP, quite a large difference between the two experiments, and basically it just shows the importance of the interaction with the soil water from the above layers with the subsoil. So that's all from me. Thank you.
Questions for Matt?
I'll just put this up because I knew I was going to run out of time. Just if you're curious to know what some of the chemical data was. Sorry, yeah.
I was going to ask, I might have missed this. How did you determine the P concentrations in your solution? So DRP and such, what was the method?
It was molybdenate reactive P.
Colorimetric.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. No, I didn't mention that. You're right. Yeah.
Salts are saturated most of the time in water. If they're not, that's when they are going to be oxidized. So were these histosols that you looked at tile drained or moved the water so they could be
gone? Yeah, correct. Yeah, they're both tile drained. Have been for, I think, one for like 40 years and one for sort of 50 years. Yeah, quite long term. Yeah.
I'm wondering, are you worried about the runoff?
It can occur. I know it has occurred in one of these sites when I was talking to the farmer. They had a local river flooded the whole area and basically washed some of the topsoil away. But in general, we like to say in Sweden that there's not really any runoff. The soil is very, very flat. So you get mostly infiltration, and plus, since these are a tile drained, you tend to get mostly infiltration through the soil. Yeah. So I didn't account for, and I don't think there is anything significant amounts that's lost in overland flow. Yeah.
Maybe that's the difference between your laboratory and the
field. I wouldn't think so. I mean, it was a lab experiment that I did you always try and push the boundaries sometimes, and this one I put on 5 millimetres per hour, 50 millimetres in one go, that's a fairly large rainfall event. And to do that 4 times, it's again a fairly, it's a lot of water. And there's some chemical processes going on with that, with the large amounts of water applied, that's I think causing this large amount of phosphorus. But even though it's not typically so realistic, you might say, it shows the possibility that if you did have a large rainfall event, 50 millimetres, that you know this is potentially possible to happen. Yeah.
All right, well, thank you very much.